I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Meg Perez. Meg is the owner, the founder of Chica Bands, and she also is known as the commander of Chica. You have a Chica band on your head right now, and I know the listeners can't see that. I can, and it's just adorable. Is that one of many different styles that you have?
It is. We have over 600 styles, and those styles come and go. We have some that are bestsellers that hang around for a long time that we've had since the inception of the company 4 years ago, but we try to shake it up because women collect these things, and we like to keep giving them new options.
What gave you the idea to start Chica Bands?
I've been a runner for many, many years, and I was using sunglasses to hold my hair back. There were a couple of products similar to ours that came out on the market. We thought we could make it better and cuter and give customers more options, and that's really where it was born.
You say you are a runner, but that's a little understatement, isn't it? I mean, you're an ultra runner.
I have morphed into an ultra runner. I actually, 2 years ago, I was doing 5Ks and 10Ks. 10K was my distance. I dabbled in a couple half marathons, and I jumped right to the 50K distance, which is 32 miles approximately.
And does your band keep your hair in place for the 50 miles?
It will stay in place for 135 miles. We actually tested it at a race at 135 miles, and it's all good.
And you can look cute all the while, huh?
All the way. Yep, good in race photos.
Do you have any plans to do more than just hair bands?
We do. Our mission statement is to create products that solve a problem, functional and fashionable. So we want to solve a problem, but we also want to give style to the customer, whether it's a male or female, and that's what we're working on right now.
You started this company in 2009, and we were coming out of the recession. We were certainly not out completely at all. What challenges have you faced in starting a brand new company right at the very end of a recession?
Our challenges were not with the financial end of it. The product was new to the marketplace, so women in general will buy something that makes them feel good and look good if you enhance their running, their racing. And so we didn't have a problem with that. It was really more learning the scope of a new business and the hair product category, which I've never sold into.
It just seems like more people are running. Was this band, the Chica band, is it designed because you think also other people or more people are running these days?
Running, the statistics on running has grown exponentially, especially women. And actually, those numbers grow about 30% every year. I just saw an article with statistics, 7 million women ran races last year. That's just in the U.S., so that doesn't count international business.
How do you market your product? How did you distribute it when you first started?
We still today kind of struggle with the distribution of it. When you only have one product, it's difficult to get reps to pick it up or rep agencies. And so the new products will help with that. But we did word of mouth. We just this week signed a deal with a marketing company to actually put some big dollars into marketing with the new products. And it's actually dual function. It'll keep your hair back, but it'll also stop a lot of that sweat that's generated on the top of your head from rolling into your eyes. Probably 30 to 40% of that sweat in your eyes in the summer is generated on the top of your head. So this will stop it dead in its tracks where the band is.
If folks would like to learn more about the bands, get a band, what's your contact information?
The website is the best way. It's www.chicabands.com, C-H-I-C-A-B-A-N-D-S.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Meg Perez. Meg is the founder, owner, and president of Chica Bands. And Meg, you managed to start a business that complements something that's a passion of yours, which is running. Your business is Chica Bands, the hair bands that you sell. What do you do to complement the bands in the area of running? Do you get involved in races?
Well, I personally run the races, and a lot of our staff are runners or very active, healthy females, triathletes. We get involved on a sponsorship level with a lot of high-level races. We were recently, in May, a sponsor of the Dick's Sporting Goods Pittsburgh Marathon, so we were the official headband of the race. We sponsor quite a few ultra marathon series, Ultra Sports LLC out of South Florida, and we sponsor four ultra marathons down there, many of which I run myself, and it's fun to do that We also just signed a deal with the Badwater 135-mile ultramarathon in Death Valley, and that is considered the toughest foot race in the world. And we just signed on as a sponsor there, so we're very excited about that to give back to the sport.
What says something about your hair bands if they can last for a 135-mile race, too?
They definitely can. We were out there last year. I was a part of the sponsorship of a local runner, Harvey Lewis, who is a fabulous ultramarathoner. He came in fourth place last year, and I was honored to be a part of that crew, and we also put some dollars toward his team, and this year we're doing the same thing as well as toward the race.
It's interesting to me that some of the most successful businesses are those that get into business, entrepreneurs that get into business because they want to solve a problem, not just to make money, but also to solve a problem, which often leads to making money. They also have a purpose. It's profits with a purpose. And that sounds to me like what your organization is doing.
That is exactly what we do. The Chica band, the non-slip headband, is it solves a problem and it creates style for the customer. And those are two things that women really appreciate, especially on the athletic side. The sales of athletic wear that are fashionable, i.e. Lululemon is a great example of that, have just skyrocketed. The number of female athletes has skyrocketed as well. It's kind of launched us into looking at products that are dual gender that we can sell to both men and women under a sister brand that we just created about 8 months ago. And that allows us to get into other sport areas and just other areas in general and create that warm feeling of camaraderie with our fellow runners.
You also are passionate about helping people get healthy.
We are. And again, it goes back to the female mindset with the Chica Bands product only, where if you can help a female who may be struggling with their weight or their health to feel good about getting out there, the tendency for them to stick with it is much greater. And we get feedback from our customers all the time and their heartwarming stories of the fact that they feel great getting their new Chica Band in the mail and putting that on and going out and running 10 miles.
It gives them an excuse to go run 10 miles,
it
huh?
Gives them an
just
excuse
to wear the headband.
Yes, and it really feels very, very good inside to be a part of that.
If folks listening would like to see all the different products that you have, you're wearing a cute headband right now, to actually take a look at the various styles, what's your website?
Our website is www.chicabands.com. That's C-H-I-C-A-B-A-N-D-S. And we do have over 600 styles for the Chica Bands. Our new bandana, the Ice Bandana, is on there as well, and a couple of other products that we do sell.
And they can purchase the products right online?
They can do that, or they can go to our website and find the retailer page, and we have tons of retailers all over the country.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, I don't know about you, but I've gotten a lot of questions lately about whether or not it makes sense to become a C corporation. I haven't had that question for a long time. And the reason some people are considering this is because the tax rates have gone up again for high income people. And the individual tax rate may be as high as 44%, almost 50% if you include state taxes. And they're wondering whether they'd be better off having their business income taxed directly to the business as a C corporation rather than passing through and being taxed on their return as incremental income.
And that's because the maximum C corporation tax rate is 35% compared to the higher, at most, 44% that you just mentioned. And this is especially applicable to businesses who have elected to be pass-through entities, S-corporations, LLCs, taxed as partnerships, and even folks who operate their business as a sole proprietor or as a single-member LLC. The issue is that when your business income gets passed through and taxed on an individual tax return, the business pays no tax, but you as the owner or one of the owners pays the tax on behalf of the business. That pushes your overall income up into higher brackets potentially, causing income such as interest, dividends, capital gains, rental income to be taxed at higher rates than they may otherwise be. What do you tell those folks when they ask you if they should elect to be a C corporation?
I tell them they should look at all the factors. And each situation is different, but it's not just the fact that you may save current taxes by converting to a C, because sometimes that's obviously what is a result of the calculation. But the benefit of being in a pass-through entity, whether it's an S corporation or a partnership or a limited liability company, is that you're only taxed on the income once. In other words, you're taxed on it, it gets taxed on your individual return, but then when you pull the money out of the entity, you're not taxed on that again. In contrast with a C corporation, you pay tax on the income when the corporation earns it at the corporate level, but then if you want to take the cash, you have to pay tax again when you distribute it, although at a, you know, at a lower tax rate, but still the combined rate is greater. So if you're planning on taking the money out of the corporation, it may not make sense to be a C corporation.
And certainly, if you plan on selling the company in the next several years, it may not make sense to be a C corporation. C corporations are not entitled to the lower capital gains rates. That is a very big issue. So I agree with you. You just cannot look at one item in isolation. You have to look very specific to the taxpayer, to the business owner, the individual that is asking the question. There is not a one-size-fits-all. I call that cocktail conversation when you hear general advice. This particular issue is way too important and very specific. So it's case by case.
Well, and the law is constantly changing. Tax rates are constantly changing. And it's a very serious decision that's not easy to reverse. What I also tell people is right now they're talking in Washington about tax reform for corporations with the possibility that tax rates may go down lower. So it may become more attractive, at least relatively speaking, to be a C corp in the future. But I think you just have to, you know, keep an eye on that and constantly evaluate your decision.
For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Tom, summer months often mean many weddings. And even though they say love is blind, you shouldn't be blind when it comes to understanding what marriage means on your tax bill.
And one of the things that you need to do if you're getting married is project your tax liability. See what impact that's going to have filing a joint return with both people's incomes versus the single returns that you were filing in the past. In many cases, you'll have what's known as the marriage penalty, the marriage tax penalty, and you'll pay more tax on a combined basis than you would have if you were single. But in some cases, you'll pay less.
Yes, generally, if you are in the low tax brackets because of the earned income tax credit, you may pay more. If you're in the high tax brackets, you will definitely pay more when you're married. Middle income folks may actually get a slight bonus. So as an example, because of the new tax rules that kicked in 2013, where the 39.6 rate was reinstated, if you're two singles, you can each make up to $400,000 and fall below that threshold, not be subject to the top rate. But if you're married, your joint income is only $450,000, and then you're subject. So effectively, if you would have stayed single, a lot more of your income could have been taxed at a lesser rate than the married rate. Just doesn't quite seem right, but that's the way the rules are.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of logic to the rules. But if both spouses have income, then you want to do a projection, do a calculation of what your taxes will be under married status. There is a married filing separate status, but that generally is more expensive than the single status.
That penalty on high income earners, for example, people making each $350,000 and then they get married and they have to pay tax because of the combined income as well over the threshold, they're going to be paying almost $30,000 more in taxes by getting married. That pays for a really nice honeymoon. So the bottom line is, we're not trying to discourage marriage by any stretch of the imagination, but you just need to understand what that additional marriage cost is going to be.
It's still probably not a bad thing to marry somebody who has $300,000 of income, right?
I agree. For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Rebecca Brommels. Rebecca is the Director of Communications for ArtsWave. And John Fox is joining Rebecca. John is the Vice President of Events and Programming for 3CDC. And The two of you are working on a very wonderful project for Washington Park. Rebecca, maybe you can talk a little bit about Arts Wave's involvement in what's going on down at Washington Park.
Sure. We were happy to come in as Arts Wave as a partner in the OTR Perform Series, which is happening Sunday nights all summer in Washington Park. It's a free series of performing arts events featuring everything from the opera and the symphony to professional theater troupes, Shakespeare in the Park. And we wanted to support that by helping to make an investment in some new microphones so that everybody can hear every word that's spoken by these great performing arts troupes.
We're really thrilled that ArtsWave is helping us. They support all the arts in Cincinnati, of course, but the park hasn't even been open for a year yet, so we're still learning. And one of the things we learned is for some of these theater groups to perform outdoors, we just need a better microphone system, sort of the wireless, so that they can roam around a little bit more. And so we put a grant proposal together to ArtsWave about maybe funding that, and they came back and said, sure. And we actually have programming 7 nights a week at the park. They all attract different kinds of people. But the reason we're doing this is when we first opened last summer, we had Cincinnati Shakespeare down there a couple of times, and they drew big crowds, several hundred people, up to 1,000 people.
That is really exciting.
Yeah, it really
is.
Who
would have thought?
I know.
A few years ago, and as you mentioned, the park's only been renovated now for less than a year.
Right.
What is the public reaction?
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I'd like to say that we thought it was going to be as good as it is, but we really have been overwhelmed as much as anyone at how positive people feel about the park. They just want to be there. And it's all different kinds of people, too. It's people who are going to Music Hall or they're going to a restaurant in Over the Rhine, but it's also the folks that have lived in Over the Rhine their whole lives and they bring their kids down. And one of the things I like probably the best is that people seem to take care of the park, too. We've had very little incidents of vandalism or graffiti. People seem to really take care of it like it's their park, which it is.
Rebecca, ArtsWave, as John mentioned, funds all kinds of arts projects. Why did you choose this project to also fund?
For us, it's sort of an extension of our ArtsWave Present series, which aims to get professional arts groups out into communities all over the neighborhoods. So many of our arts groups make an effort to have performances in local parks during the summer. And we recognized right away when Washington Park opened that it was really becoming downtown's backyard and a really spectacular new venue for arts groups. So we saw this as a way to encourage our arts organizations that we support to participate and to expose new audiences to all of these different groups.
Well, if people are interested and want to come down, can they bring food and drinks with them? Can they picnic there?
Yeah, it's being performed on the main stage. There's a big lawn. It's right in front of Music Hall. So we encourage people to bring blankets and chairs and come down. You can bring food. You can bring drinks. You just cannot bring alcohol into the park. We have a liquor license for the park and we have our own concession stand and we offer drinks and food as well, but you're welcome to bring anything in that you want. And there's obviously no admission. It's free.
Again, this is every Sunday evening.
That's right.
What time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Just show up. You don't have to make a reservation. You can't beat that, can you?
And it's a big lawn. It holds a lot of people.
I just want to thank you both for what you're doing for our city and to making it such a better place. And if folks listening would like more information about other activities going on down at Washington Park, John, what's the website?
It's just washingtonpark.org. We have all of our events for all the nights, not just Sunday night.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Rebecca Brommels. Rebecca is the Director of Communications for ArtsWave, which is formerly known as the Fine Arts Fund. And Rebecca, the Fine Arts Fund, now ArtsWave, is one of the largest art fundraising organizations of its kind in the entire country.
That's right. We're both the first and the largest, both in terms of number of donors and the number of dollars contributed to the arts in our region.
Which is remarkable to me, given the fact that Cincinnati, by far, is not the largest region in the country.
It's not, but it is such an extraordinary place for the arts, you know, between large institutions like the symphony, the ballet, Playhouse in the Park, all the way to all the small theaters in our theater scene, lots of different music groups, dance organizations. You can really find all sorts of arts events all over town at any time.
What type of art activities do you all participate in? Do you help?
We do a variety of things. You're probably familiar with the Macy's Art Sampler event that we run in the spring during our campaign. That's a chance for people to get out and experience free art. We also fund over 100 local arts organizations that are programming things all over the town. And we're now curating on our page for the summer listing of free arts activities that are happening all over the region.
Well, what do you have, speaking of summer for parents who might want to take advantage of some of these things through the summer month?
Parents should definitely check out our Free Art for the Summer page. There's lots of things happening in local parks. Washington Park has a great series, OTR Performs, on Sunday nights. Shakespeare in the Park by Cincinnati Shakespeare Company will be all over the region in August. Coming up in June, Opera in the Park at Washington Park. The Symphony will be out in Mason Deerfield. Kentucky Symphony Orchestra performs in DeVue Park. There are lots of places where you can pack up a picnic blanket and enjoy a night outside with music.
Why do you think that our city has rallied around the arts so much? I mean, such great magnitude given the size of our city. And then why do you think it's important for our region to have so many different arts organizations?
First and foremost, there's a lot of people who are invested in the heritage of the arts here in the city. But I think they've also come to recognize that the arts do two really important things for us. One is they're a real economic engine driver. When a neighborhood has an arts event happening, there's feet on the street, people are out, they're participating in restaurants, they're purchasing parking, they're making it a safe, vibrant, active place to live. And it also brings people together across cultures and across neighborhoods to meet people that they wouldn't otherwise meet. So I think our community, and particularly our business community, understands the value of the arts in that way. And then the main thing we hear from people about Macy's Art Sampler, the thing they love is the variety. Nobody wants to eat peanut butter and jelly every single day. And I think parents in particular want to expose their children to the widest possible variety of world cultures, and the arts is always a great avenue for doing that.
The thing I like the best, or one of the things I like the best, is the fact that you hold these organizations accountable. You actually make sure that the dollars that donors give you are going to our organizations who are using those dollars for their planned purpose.
Absolutely. There's a real rigor to our grant-making process, not only in making sure that organizations are financially stable, but now we really look at what's the impact of the work they're doing on the community. And we're starting to track that with real data that we can understand and share back to the community so that you understand what your investment gets.
Well, I think also people just want to live in an area that has great cultural activities for them to participate in.
Right. Everyone wants to live in a special place where there are lots of things going on. And even if you don't participate all the time, you want that sense of, if I decided to go out tonight, there would be something great to do.
And if folks listening would like to learn about the activities that your organization funds and some of your partner organizations, what's the website that they can reach you?
Our website is theartswave.org.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
This is BusinessWise. Our guest today is John Fox. John is the Vice President of Events and Programming for 3CDC. And John, you have a great job. Your job is to create fun activities for people to come and attend in downtown Cincinnati.
In downtown, both at Washington Park and Fountain Square. Yeah.
And we've got a lot of things to look forward to. I know in Washington Park, you're having events every evening. Maybe you can just share what some of those things are.
We would be here a long time if I went through each one. But basically, 7 nights a week on Fountain Square and 7 nights a week at Washington Park, all the way through the summer through Labor Day. And it's a mixture of music nights, for instance, a reggae night or a salsa night or a indie rock night, jazz and bluegrass. And also some unusual things, like we do a trivia night now at Fountain Square. We're doing a performing arts series at Washington Park. We're also doing a small farmers neighborhood market at Washington Park on Monday nights. Basically, what we're trying to do is just give people a reason to either, if they work downtown, to stay downtown after work, or to come down on and visit and see what's going on and maybe visit some of the restaurants and other businesses around.
Well, and I've just observed that it seems to be working, because when I go by either one of those areas, there's always people around and some activity going on.
And as a matter of fact, the whole revitalization of the entire Over the Rhine area that 3CDC has accomplished is remarkable. We've gotten national attention because of it, because people who haven't been downtown would be surprised, wouldn't they, as to what this whole Over the Rhine area looks like now.
They would. But, you know, the funny thing about it is that Over the Rhine is a very big area. And the areas that we're talking about primarily are Vine Street, really, is the main one. But Main Street, and then certainly over by Washington Park on Race and Elm, over by Music Hall. But yet, there's still huge parts of Over the Rhine that are either empty or in not very good shape. But the stuff that's been done so far, it is amazing. It's just, you know, people always said, well, we have these 100, 150-year-old buildings and that we have this great architecture. Could we, just sort of scrape off all the years of dirt and kind of get people to move back in. Because the reality is, I think at its bottom, Over the Rhine was maybe, the population was maybe one-tenth of what it used to be. So a lot of empty buildings, a lot of just sort of empty blocks waiting for people to come back. And that's what's happening now. And that's what's the most exciting part.
Seems like it's attained the critical mass it needs for people. It's no longer that adventuresome to go down there.
Right. And it used to be, I think there were artists and other people who were sort of that first wave. And now there's people, it's still a lot of young people, but a lot of older folks as well.
And Tom, you use the word adventuresome. I think some people might use the word safety as an issue. And is it safe for people to go down there?
Well, the crime statistics show that the crime in Over the Rhine has dropped dramatically. And I think it's the example of feet on the street, of the more people who are around, the people who want to do bad things go other places because they don't want to be around other people. And it's really helped that a lot. And the numbers show it. There's no place that's completely safe,
sure,
you know, but it's certainly a lot better.
And what about the banks? All of the folks living downtown, the banks, that has to be helping
with
the feet on the street.
I think one of the most exciting things about downtown right now is it used to be if there was something happening on Fountain Square, then there was some activity. But if there wasn't anything happening around there, downtown was kind of dead. Maybe the Reds or the Bengals. But now you have three really, I think, very vibrant areas. You have the banks, you have the Fountain Square, and you have Over the Rhine.
And John, if folks listening would like to learn about the activities going on downtown, how can they get that information?
Well, 3CDC has its own website, 3CDC.org. And from there, you can go to both Fountain Square and Washington Park for events. But it also has a list of all the projects, the development projects that we're working on.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.